And we are taking a tour with him of events that happened 30 years ago in communist China. And quite an interesting trip. Both sides were spying on each other and having lots of fun. And maybe having the most fun of all, as usual, is Admiral Cooper himself. Did you have a good time?
We had a good time. We worked hard on these things. Yeah, we worked damn hard to get them together. But and it really is a compliment when people get done and say, gee, it doesn't look like you had to work at all, because it comes together beautifully. One of the downsides there, nobody had cars back in them days. There were 40 gazillion bicycles, but nobody had cars. And we had a tour bus, and this guy, when he'd start the bus, the first thing he would do after he started the engine was lay on the horn. He was on that horn, I mean, almost continuously, and there was no reason. I mean, there was no damn cars out on the thoroughfare, 8 lanes wide. There was nothing there. And so finally, if you look at photo number 16, that's Lewis Twine again. He went out before the bus driver got out. He had a pair of side cutters, and he cut the wires to the horn. And his poor driver, it looked like he wasn't going to be able to drive the bus because he had no horn.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, geez. That's Lewis again in photo 16. Lewis was a good kid. He was about 24 years old, I believe, at the time. And when he realized that I could get into places that nobody else could, he never was more than about 3 feet away from me. And every so often he'd say, oh, man, Harry, if you knew what I did for a living. And I'd say, well, what is it, Lewis? Tell me. Oh, I can't tell you. You know, I knew all along what he was doing. So anyhow, I always ask people to send us copies of their photos. And the people usually are really super about that. So we got a ton of photos. Well, Lewis sent me 400 black and whites. So I called him up to thank him. And I said, by the way, Lewis, how come they were all black and white? I said, is that because you get better space definition? And
you got it.
You know, that's what spies always use, is black and white. But I said, next time you do this, don't pay for it with a U.S. Treasury check that's got your Naval Intelligence Division typed on it.
How can that be?
I don't know, but it was. My wife and I looked at those checks coming in. We said, what the hell?
Yeah.
Are these guys really spies, or are they just kidding?
No.
So anyhow, there we see.
Human error.
As it turned out, it didn't hurt anybody here, but who knows? Could have. And there we have a familiar guy photograph up there. You couldn't look anywhere but wasn't a picture of Chairman Mao somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just about ready to go into, what is that, the Forbidden City, I believe.
That's one of the first automobiles in China there in the foreground, right?
Oh, there in 17? No, it's actually a military Jeep, I believe.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh, by the way, I checked the website while you were on commercial, and we have all the photos and the explanation up, but I don't know if we have the videos up. I'll have to figure out later on. Not during this show.
Leave the wet market out.
Oh, geez, yeah. I don't think that's on the, that's not on our website, the wet market. That's gruesome.
Yeah.
We went to another place just a few blocks down from the wet market, and there's a pool table in the middle of the street. And and there were some guys playing pool. I thought, what the hell? How can you put up a pool table in the middle of the street? But the streets weren't wide enough for a car anyhow.
Well, China has come a long way. In some urban areas, I bet others are still back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They haven't distributed
the money quite well enough.
What is the Mandela effect, just for fun, for those viewers saying, what's he talking about? When masses of people or people believe an event occurred in the past when it really didn't.
Okay.
It's an odd phenomenon. It's like parallel universes.
Huh? Oh, okay. My only thought with Mandela is he was not thrown in prison because he was a political activist. He threw a bomb into a bus full of black people, and that's why he got thrown in prison, but then history was rewritten.
Such hypocrites.
Uh-huh. Anyhow, number 18. We're inside the Forbidden City now, and that's Commander Jones with his white shark hunter's hat on. I don't know, maybe he's waiting for the palace guards to come in, who knows. But
let me ask one question. Is this a big, huge open space for people to get together and rally or something? It's very barren-looking.
Right. This was inside the Forbidden City where masses of people were not even allowed to get in. Maybe it was for soldiers to parade. I don't know. But this is inside the Forbidden City. And before, when it was the dynasties, the average guy couldn't go in there, period. But then they got overrun and the dynasties went away. But they got room after room, house after house, building after this thing. It's probably a good 1 square mile, I'm guessing, just a guess.
Right. Do you know, you've read about the Terracotta Army, right?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
Right. And they not only had the Terracotta Army, but they didn't have faces on these guys until some of the emperor's personal guard died. Then they would put a face on the figure to represent him. But that was nowhere near Beijing.
Very
or we would have gone to see it.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
Right.
I wonder how many there were. Thousands.
I don't know.
I don't think they've even unearthed them all yet.
That's probably true. Either they're going very slowly or they've been stopped.
I mean, it's kind of like Pompeii. They haven't come close to finishing the excavation there.
Yeah, and it's slow going at Pompeii anyhow because they're going through lava rock. Herculaneum, the other city that got swallowed up by Vesuvius, they'll probably never excavate that because they had molten lava go in there, which solidified.
No, Pompeii was ash.
Right.
They could get through it. 8,000 terracotta soldiers just found it.
Wow. Okay. Supposed to represent the emperor's personal guard, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All 6 foot tall.
Right. Number
19.
There's Anna.
19.
Again.
There's Anna. Notice how she's dressed in Western style.
She put razor blades in that guy's back brush.
Notice she's wearing her shark hunter's hat.
Yeah, they'll do anything to get your confidence.
I think that that was part of it, the spy versus spy thing.
Oh, yeah.
To make us feel
comfortable. That's a fun. This is a new adventure for you. This is enjoyable, fun.
Yeah. It's not the first time I encountered spies, but in China. This is a beautiful spy. Probably was a honey trap, but I never found out. Jim was trying to find out. I don't know how far that made it, but she never came back with him.
Okay. Number 20.
Yeah, this is the beginning of their Air Force Museum, and it's huge. And some of their airplanes, you wonder how they ever got in the air. They were just the most ungainly, ungodly-looking airplanes, like the one we're looking at here in number 20.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that thing is. It's a turboprop, I know that, but that's about it. Probably a transport.
Most likely. It doesn't look too combat capable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a
Now
Bombay
we look at 21. They got a whole bunch of MiG-15s there, and there's a MiG-19 down the road, some other ones. And if you look close, you'll see a DC-3. They had tons of American airplanes over there because we had given them to Chiang Kai-shek. P-51s everywhere. They even had several U-2s that they shot down that were not American U-2s. They were U-2s that we had given to, Formosa. But now take a look at the curved ramp. You'll notice the ramp curves to your right as you're looking up it.
Got it.
Uh-huh. Why? Well, if you follow the ramp, it goes into the mountain, and it curves around inside the mountain and comes out about a mile further down. So when the airplanes needed repair, they'd go into the mountain, safe from bombing attacks, move through the tunnel, get repaired, and come out the other side.
Sounds like something the Germans would have done.
Yeah, pretty clever.
Where's the DC-3?
Look where it says the curved ramp, the R in ramp. Look straight up from that.
That's a DC-4.
Okay, you're right.
Look at the tail. It's not a tail dragger.
Yeah, it's tricycle gear. It's not a tail dragger. You're right, DC-4. You sure you're not a spy?
I don't know nothing. Let's see.
That's Sergeant Schultz.
Number 22.
Double deuce. Yeah, that looks familiar, doesn't it? That's a...
helicopter.
It's a helicopter. Good view. That's either a Sikorsky or a copy of a Sikorsky.
Do they still have P-51s sitting around over there? They probably do.
In their museum.
Yeah,
they had a ton of them. But like I say, this was 30 years ago, but I imagine
they still wouldn't throw them out. Nah. Tourism.
They have so much room over there. And the MiG-15s, for instance, they put those things everywhere for monuments or memorials or whatever. You build a new school, you put a MiG-15 in the front. You build a new public toilet, you put a MiG-15 there. They had MiG-15s every place you look.
What do you have in your front yard?
I didn't get one. Dick Smith, he was a retired U.S. Army major. He was a pilot. Mm-hmm. And he sat in one, so we got some great pictures of him. Unfortunately, he was on his way with his new stepson, 16-year-old kid, and they lived in California. They were on their way to an air show somewhere, and Dick was a very intelligent guy and a great pilot, but he forgot sometimes there's rocks inside of them clouds, and he flew right into a mountain.
Ouch.
I don't know how the hell he managed that, because even with my rudimentary knowledge of aviation, when you lay out a course, you know where you're going, and if there's a mountain there, you don't go there.
No.
Maybe
that's,
he got blown off course. I don't know. But
number 23.
Okay.
Is that him?
No. Let me find out. 23, 23.
We got the Sikorsky.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, that's not him. That is Joe Durana, because he kept saying, my name's Durana, rhymes with banana. Now, he worked at Cape Kennedy.
Okay.
And now we're going into some of their...
Probably work with Clark.
I wouldn't be surprised. He gave me a bunch of patches, different ones that the astronauts wore on their uniforms.
Yeah.
They're around here somewhere. No, he's admiring the cloisonné. They make awesome cloisonné over there. They use different kind of clay that changes color when it's fired. And we saw this one guy, he was doing a vase. He put it all together and it looked like just a big thing of mud. And he grabbed it with both hands and he had mule skin gloves, or about a quarter inch thick, and he had this, it was a kiln, I guess, but it really wasn't. It was just a hole in the ground with fire going in there, and he leaned over, and he with his hands, he put this thing down in the fire, came back out and beat the fire out of his mule skin gloves, and then after a certain length of time, he reached down and grabbed this thing, must have been a couple of thousand degrees, brought it back out and set it on a metal bench and beat the flames out of his gloves again. That's your... And that poor guy probably made as much in a week as you would use to buy a meal at McDonald's.
Okay.
That was back then. Who knows now?
Right. All right, we got to move here. 24.
24. Beautiful.
Now, those are
hand-painted.
Yeah. Are they not hand-painted?
No, that's not painted. That's all different types of mud and clay that fires to
Come
a different color.
That's
then
crazy.
We go to,
look at that.
Yeah. Number 25, that's their upscale fancy factory.
That's where they make Apple iPhones. Come on.
Okay, if you say so. Now you look at 26, the reason I rushed ahead, there's those two vases. And there's the guy putting them together.
The same two?
Well, probably
no,
the same.
No, they're different.
Group.
One's shorter. One's shorter.
Okay.
One's more narrow and one's... But it's the same idea. Okay.
Same thing.
So
sure, come out of the same
factory. That's how they do it. They daub on different clay-like colors, and
right,
then they
and
fire
then
them up.
Right, all because right. of whatever the clay is, whatever properties, that's the color that it heats to.
Look at number 27, you'll see.
Yeah.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, this is a sweatshop. And the air conditioning is those windows at the end that are not open.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's how the cloisonné is made. I brought back a whole lot of really beautiful cloisonné stuff for my wife. But this is how it's made. You can see the gal in the white has one in her lap that she's finishing off. And that's what these people do for, I don't know how much they make now, but maybe $1 a day, $2 a day back then.
Well, it's fascinating to me. Those are colored... They look like colored clay, and they're using that clay somehow to... They're ornamenting the outside of those things with that colored clay.
Yep.
So they're painting with clay, it looks like.
Yep. And then they fire it again.
Fascinating.
Photo 29 shows you the other end of the table.
Uh-huh.
And the window still isn't open, so...
Wow. So this was a highlight of the tour?
No, not really, but it was very interesting. It was very interesting.
Look at all their finished products down there, number 30.
Number 30, that seems to be their warehouse.
Today they're all iPhones. Back then they were vases, vases.
If you say so, vases, yeah. We're getting into some more interesting stuff now.
Speaking 31. Of vases, number 31,
yeah.
Who is that?
31, that's Commander Jones, hard at work.
Oh.
We were on a big ship, a ferry boat, that sank a few years after we were there. He's just relaxing. On this. It was an overnight tour, and that's where I put my arm around Anna to go through the crowd. And you look at number 32, all the guys are enjoying the tequila that Tequila Jimmy brought over.
The green bottle?
Yeah. Maybe that's Qingdao beer, I don't know.
Looks more beer-like to me, but...
Okay. I don't know what
all,
it was.
They all,
was.
No, they're all green, but they have labels on them, so they're different. They're also shorter.
I was drinking the tequila. It was really good.
All right, a good time was had by all. I thought you didn't drink.
I don't anymore. I gave it up way back then. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah, you
I don't now.
That.
If I have, I had a Bloody Mary for dinner last night. It was the fifth drink I had this year.
Mm.
So.
All right. Number 33.
Dryum Dreisick. Now we're starting to get into where they had a lot of anti-submarine ships, and this is where that one guy from Pearl Harbor spotted one in a bunch, and it was a newer one, and tipped his hand that he was...
Pay no attention to the fact that they're rusted.
Yeah, maybe paint costs money.
Now they're all spiffy white.
Every time you buy something made in China.
They just launched their third aircraft carrier today.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, but we published a picture of all six of their aircraft carriers some years ago.
They only have three.
Okay.
Two have the ramp, and this new one is flat and longer, and it has electro drive to launch. It throws them forward with electromagnetic system.
Yeah, you've got to have a catapult if you don't have a ramp.
Correct.
And our carriers all had, the newer ones, they have catapults. Steam catapults.
Well, the newest ones have it's an electromagnetic system.
Yeah.
I was reading about it today. All right, here's number 34. Again, not knocking anybody. 30 years ago, okay. It's kind of a crummy-looking boat.
Yeah. Maybe it was the best they had. I don't know. But we had parked the bus to get out and look at the beautiful overview, and I saw this thing sitting there.
Uh-huh.
And I told the group, you guys have fun. I'm going over to this destroyer. And here I come with my big monster camcorder on my shoulder, and Lewis right behind me. If you look at number 35, that's me going up the gangplank with Lewis right behind me. And he says, you can't go aboard. I said, why? Can you read Chinese? Does it say Yankee go home? I'm with the white arrow. He's with the red arrow. So I got aboard. Went up the gangplank, the brow, and I saluted the little guard. I saluted the colors. They never batted an eye. I was going through that thing, taking photos of everything. You'll notice in 36.
It looks like it looks like a World War I vintage ship. It does.
Old. But it was newer than that. But anyhow, I was filming all through the Silkworm missile batteries. I was filming all through the gun tubs on the bridge. And all these little sailors are just smiling. And I say, ni hao, which is hello. And I was filming all through the CIC. Nobody lets you film in the Combat Information Center. But they didn't give
Sounds
me any...
Like a major fail in terms of intelligence and security. Gee.
So anyhow, me and Lewis were going down his gangway, down a couple of decks down, and we come around a corner into a wardroom, and there was a little fat admiral and a tall, skinny captain, and suddenly here they're confronted with two round eyes with a camera, and they jumped up and they started yelling, and I said, Lewis, I don't know what they're saying, but I'll bet it ain't welcome aboard. Let's get the hell out of here. So they were right after us, hollering and yelling. And by the time we got to the upper deck, we were surrounded by about 30 sailors. So you look at photo number 37. Out of nowhere, little Anna pops up. And see, she's wearing her shark hunter's hat. And there she's talking to the admiral. She said she was telling them we're important people. Maybe she was just telling them, hey, don't bother these assholes. They can't figure anything out anyhow. So then you look at...
You missed 36.
No, 36 was all the weaponry.
That's weaponry? Depth charge, I guess, huh?
Yeah, to fire whatever the hell.
Pneumatically charged depth bombs.
Okay.
Boom. See the big air tank?
Yep.
Got to be propulsion.
So anyhow, we got here to channel 38, number 38. And there are A, the little fat admiral, B, the tall, skinny captain, C, that's me, D, that's Carl Brothers, the Marine who was stationed there. And so I gave one of my hats to the admiral. One of those nice hats with the dragon on it. Oh, okay. He thought that was nice. He had to reciprocate. So he took the hat off this kid next to me, item E, and gave that to me. Okay, thank you. And then I found out this kid was going to have to pay for the hat out of his own money. So I gave the kid a U.S. $10 bill. And the admiral was looking really unhappy because that's more money than he makes in a month. Then all of a sudden you could see the light come on in his head, Would the other Americans like hats too? But they're $20 a piece for the other Americans. So everybody chipped in $20, and Anna showed up later that evening at dinner with a whole bag full of hats. But mine, you look at that kid, he's got the brass on the front of his hat, the emblem of the Chinese Navy. It's against the law for them to let that get out of the country, but mine is in the closet here with that brass on it.
Now, they've changed a lot in 30 years, I'll bet. It's pretty regimented now from everything I understand.
I would imagine.
Very, very harsh. Who's the Caucasian woman on the far left next to
Okay, she's married to, what the hell was his name? I can't remember. They lived up in New Jersey. She was a sales rep for ERA.
Was she on your tour with you? One of the just a tour member, allegedly, or a spy?
Right. She and her husband were. As a matter of fact, when I jokingly said we know all the spies now, so if anybody said everyone who's not a spy get off the bus, we'd still have a full bus. And her husband, his name was Charlie. He pops up. He says, "Well, my wife and I are not spies." Okay. Well, I believe him. I can't. Now it's going to bug me. I'll have to look them up later because they dropped out of membership some years ago. Okay, and then way on the right side of this photo with the blue and white bannered shirt, that's Joe Durana, rhymes with banana. So.
Got it. Okay. All right, number 39. The life raft is for the entire crew, right?
That's right.
Donut?
It's best we don't fall in the pond. No, this is the Admiral's barge. Now, you call it a barge. It's really like a very, very plush houseboat. And they were there to greet us. And with all the pomp and circumstance, they had two rows. You can't see them in this photo. Two rows of sailors, they call them side boys. They're there for decoration. And we got on board, and it was up on the overdeck that we were going up the river that this guy from Hawaii says, "Oh, there's such and such a kind of destroyer." How'd you know that? And we got some in the video where we're going up the, this is the Huang Po River, I think, and we're looking astern, and there's a ship about 100 feet astern of us going as fast as we are, too. And I figure, if we hit a bump, that sucker's going to run us over. And you wouldn't be able to drown in that river. It's so polluted. You'd die from chemical poisoning.
Wow. So the Admiral lives on this particular craft.
No, this is just to move him around.
Oh, okay.
From the base, because it was taking us from the city dock, more or less, up to the naval base.
Entenmann's. Okay. Best cinnamon strudel I ever had.
Oh, yeah. It made great product. Okay.
Number 40.
Number 40, 40, if you're in German. There I'm meeting the admiral, and that guy there is his translator. And his name was Victory Wu, the admiral. Victory Wu. And he was in charge of that whole Navy base, which was almost entirely anti-submarine stuff. Very nice fellow, very proud of his strength. He was arm wrestling with Bill Ball, the former Navy SEAL, and he won the arm wrestling, and I asked Bill about it, and he says, "I let him win."
That's funny.
Keeping up.
And look at the tousle-haired lad on the left.
With the big, heavy camera. I think I remember who that guy was.
Yeah.
30 years and 40 pounds ago.
Well, you could make a comeback. Come on.
I almost did with the Kung Flu. I lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks.
That's right. Fought like hell to put it back on, too.
right, so it's pretty much almost all back. I'm still a bit lower than I was, but I don't get to exercise very much. I sit here at my desk all the time.
Well, the dog drags you around, so that's
something. Yeah, she drags me around, and also I go out and I practice fly the drone that Shannon Davis sent us for our next expedition, if we ever get to make an expedition.
Well, no shots.
We will. Just painful.
No shots.
No shot. You count on that.
China's anti-submarine fleet. These would be smaller than destroyers, huh? Faster?
Probably. Yeah, corvettes or frigates. They had a bunch of them there. There's that same guy in the white hat with the camera.
Hmm. They still have interesting bow cutout down to the deck. They look old. It's an old style. That number 514.
Yeah, I guess it's to let the water drain off faster if they're in heavy seas.
They almost look like tuna fishing boats used to.
Okay, except the tuna they were going after was steel.
True. Okay, number 42. Now, this is interesting. That is a very formal sit-down. And I'm wondering why there would be such a formal sit-down. And that, I assume, is the admiral in the middle?
That's correct. And the translator is behind him. And the guy off to the far right in the photo, that's his number two, and he's got a translator behind him. We had an open...
And then there's the waiter on the left.
No, that's me.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Sorry. I'm looking very
well,
lean there.
I know it's you. I can tell. I can. But what are these spittoons under each little table?
I never found out, and I don't think I really want to. I'm not sure they're spittoons.
Okay.
But anyhow.
They wouldn't. No.
I don't know. All I know is they were there. Anyhow, there were two rows of tables on either side of the photo that you can't see, making a big U. And one by one, our guys got to ask a question. And Admiral Wu would slowly reach over, pick up his teacup, take the lid off, take a sip, put the lid on, put the cup back, and then answer the question. It gave him plenty
of
time.
Organizing his thoughts. Yes.
Exactly. And people would be asking intelligent questions about their Navy and this and how much did they get paid and how long was the hitch. And, of course, Bill Ball asked, where do the guys go to find women? And the admiral, after he took his drink, he said, our men don't indulge in such things. And then everybody's asking the same type of question. And the guy from Jane's Fighting Ships pops up and says, how's the construction going on that aircraft carrier you're building in secret in such and such harbor? That guy never batted an eye, picked up his teacup, took the lid off, took a sip, put the lid on, put it back, and he said, someone as lowly as I would not have information about that. So,
funny. That's good.
Yeah, and then they served our meals. We had tables in front of us then. And they put a little plate down with one or two items on it, and you ate that. They take it away, get another one. And then they put this one plate down with what I thought was two mushrooms on it, two fried mushrooms, and I took one and crunch, crunch, I ate it. And my translator behind me there is smiling. And I said, well, you know, I thought maybe I was going to have hallucinations. I said, what kind of mushroom was that? The guy says, beneath the duck. You know, he has 2 feet. Said, oh, shit. He said, yes, you ate the duck's foot. Okay, so I just grabbed the other one and ate that one too, and the admiral reached over, patted me on the shoulder. I don't know what he said, but...
Now, these were being served to be eaten, right? Not as decor.
Yeah. They eat that. They eat everything over there.
And the duck's toenails were there?
I didn't look.
Yeah, that's not
all
true.
All I know is it was crunchy, had no flavor, so I just ate the second one.
Tastes like a duck.
Walks like a duck and quacks like a duck. Maybe it's his feet. Let's eat his feet.
Jeez. And they didn't even offer you any ketchup.
No. I don't know if they even have ketchup in China. There's one other point here. The last of the spies that I'll identify is sitting in this picture. He was the guy in charge of the CIA group.
What picture?
This picture, 42.
Where is he?
Sitting right next to the admiral in the blue jacket.
Oh, I'm a little slow, sorry. So what was your, they knew you were in charge, they had to.
I would imagine. They knew everything because we had to fill out forms and send photographs, you know, visa photographs, 2 months before we went over there. So they knew everything about us. Mm-hmm. And interesting, when Anna introduced herself, she says, "I might not know your names right off the bat, because I've just been given this assignment," or something like that. And I'm thinking, oh, horse feathers. You've known that we were coming. You've known it for 2 months. But everybody got along so well. Anna became a member of Shark Hunters, and so did Admiral Victory Wu. But then all of a sudden, you know, this was back in the days we were printed, and all of a sudden the magazines were coming back, moved. Don't know where they are. So it would have been nice to be able to keep in contact. Right now, I can't even keep in contact with the people in Russia. And I'm an honorary Russian submarine officer from the St. Petersburg flotilla. And right. There's also a girl I know over there organizes rallies. I can't get a hold of them. The lines are dead, if you want to use that phrase, between here and Russia, because of the war. So, you know, you're at the whim of the various governments.
So how long were you there? 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
What area, if we look at in our mind's eye, China?
We were near Shanghai? Pretty much on the eastern side. We were in Beijing, Shanghai, Qingdao, Lutian, Wentai, Mihai, and Penglai. Those are all fairly close to Beijing.
You know,
very clean place
live?
Except for the air. You can't breathe the air worth a damn. That's why all them Chinese were wearing face masks, face diapers way back then.
Well, it comes right across the Pacific and probably doesn't
it was right there.
It circles the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, well, it was pretty heavy right there in Beijing. Within 1 or 2 minutes at the most after you step out of your hotel, your throat's burning, and anything you got white within 10, 15, 20 minutes, it's all, it's dirty. But it's okay for them to pollute the air. We gotta drive electric cars, thanks to Joe and the Ho. Sorry to your members there, your listeners, if anybody is...
He's saying that he's blaming the electric cars, the gasoline-powered cars for the fuel price rise. He says everyone's got to go to emission-free automobiles as soon as possible.
Yeah, right.
He's fooling absolutely no one.
He's just repeating what he's told to. He's reading a teleprompter or off his script, whatever. I don't know if you saw it on TV today. He was starting to answer questions on the hard pan, and he was starting to look his usual stupid self, and his wife, Jill, grabbed him by the arm and says, "Honey, we got to go," and hustled him off to Marine Corps One.
Get some adrenochrome.
Whatever. They were on their way up to his mansion in, what is it, Delaware?
Yep.
Yeah. So, and this dingbat broad they got trying to pull his fat out of the fire, she's as dumb as a box of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so much for my political commentary.
Well, Hunter, via the magic laptop, reports that his dad has 5 firearms in the house.
My goodness. You gotta stop that, because we can't have guns in houses.
No.
Golly.
No.
As you know, when I was 26 years old, I had an armed burglar coming into my house, and I shot him. If I didn't have a gun, I'd have been dead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
the one to raise the age from 18 to 21. I had my first semi-automatic rifle when I was 12. I never shot anybody with it. Few crows didn't make it through life. And
how did you fight the impulse off?
Geez, I don't know. And the AR-15, horrible thing, assault rifle. I had an AR-15 when I was about, I guess it was 30 or so. I had an AK-47. I never had the urge to shoot anybody with it.
Of course not.
Yeah. But these were all bought legally, see?
Yeah.
It's only if you have illegal guns and you're a criminal that you can get away with shooting people.
Well, there's one thing for sure. If they ever do try to collect the guns, the criminals will never have a problem getting hold of them. Never.
Exactly.
Never have, never will.
Exactly. And just look at what happened to Australia when they got disarmed about, 10, 15 years ago?
It happens to every single country, every culture, every society that they take the guns away. It's all over.
Right. Yeah. Then you become slaves. So, I don't know. I had a survey the other day. People are asking, you know, what do you think guns should be legal, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, when I was a kid, though, we used to carry cap pistols to school when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever thought of getting dad's gun. Of course, my dad didn't have one, but...
No. These are most of these are set up jobs. They're false flag. They're mind control. These people, look at these shooters. Look at their faces. You know where they are. They have no idea what's going on, many of them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there aren't a few legitimate ones, but most of them are completely contrived.
Yeah. Even when I was in high school, I used to carry a pistol. Why? Just because it was cool. I mean, a real gun, not a cap pistol, when I was in high school. And when I was in the Air Force, if you read the last issue of our magazine, because listeners, Jeff's a member, go to my website, sharkhunters.com, and see the pictures of the Chinese thing, etc. Anyhow, a lot of us guys, because we were in Lincoln, Nebraska, but we were 8 miles out of town from Lincoln, and once you cross that little creek at the western edge of Lincoln back then, you were in just wide open nothing built out there. So we all had single action 44 magnums, and we'd go out to the river and practice quick draw. You draw, cock, aim, fire, draw, cock, aim, fire. Well, this one guy, Jimmy Black, who was a real jerk, anyhow, he forgot one part, the aim part. He went, draw, cock, fire, and blew off his big toe. So we were ordered.
He must have squealed like a pig. That hurt.
I wasn't there, but he got out of the Air Force right after that. But then the command came down from the base commander. Nobody can have private weapons anymore. Most people got rid of them. Mm-hmm. Some of us didn't. And this one, I think it was a Saturday, Dave Dunn and I were out along on a dirt road, and there's always a 30-knot wind in Nebraska because it's flat. And 100 or so years ago, farmers would plant windbreaks north and south along these roads, you know, poplar mm-hmm. trees, very thick, very close together, mm-hmm. Maybe 3 feet thick, and as far as you could see, north to south. Well, it may sound a little gruesome and not very decent, but Dave and I would go out there, and we'd shoot at the sparrows and watch them explode. Well, this one day, I had run out of ammunition. I cleared my weapon, put it in the trunk of the car. Dave had one bullet left, and he saw this sparrow. He aimed, pulled the trigger, and we hear that tremendous roar that you get out of a .44 Magnum. The bird exploded, and on the other side of the trees, we hear, "Moo!" Oh, my God. We got in the car real quick, and we thought, whoa, what if it had been the farmer? So we sold our pistols right away. But that's what, you know.
What was the moo? I don't understand. The bird blew up, and then you
there
heard
a
moo?
There was a cow on the other side of the trees that we couldn't see because the tree line was so thick, and he hit the cow.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got it.
So, thank God it wasn't the farmer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun little story.
You know, here we are, 20 years old, doing stupid things like that, and yet Dave was in the same squadron as me. We would each one go out, and we were in command of a six-man team loading mm-hmm. hydrogen bombs onto heavy bombers, mm-hmm. and yet we didn't have enough sense to not shoot through rows of trees that we couldn't see past.
Well, that's, again, a failure of common sense. It's been on the way out for a long time. Now it's all gone. As a former nuclear weapons expert, what are you thinking about Russia being pushed and pushed and pushed? Is he going to finally just say, to hell with you people, and take some city off the map and say you had enough?
My guess is no. No, because you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Once the first person lets loose a nuclear mm-hmm. device, mm-hmm. then everybody else is going to be justified in retaliating. You know,
Ukraine. Does it not appear that they are pushing awfully hard to get a response out of Putin that he is not willing to give?
They sure are pushing. And it's also a way to empty our wallet over here in this country. Biden just announced that they were sending about $1 billion more in aid to Ukraine. It's tragic. It's horrible for the people, the civilians. But it ain't my war. Why am I paying for it?
Well, you pay for all the wars. That's what people do.
Yeah, but it's coming out of my tax money. And we got a guy over here running for, agricultural commissioner, mm-hmm. Jim somewhere or another. I got his card here somewhere. He pointed out something that nobody even thinks about. All these millions of border jumpers coming into this country, we know we're paying for their welfare, for their medical and all the rest of that crap. But one thing he pointed out, everybody, Jeff Rentz, Harry Cooper, the guy, I can't remember his name, we all consume about 2 pounds of food a day. So you figure you got 2 million people coming in here. That's 4 million pounds of food a day. Multiply that out times 365 days, and that's a lot of food that might not be available to American citizens.
Biggest
we didn't think
story,
about that.
Biggest story of all that you didn't think about, and nobody thinks about, is that none of these people are being injected with the so-called COVID vaccine. None of them. They're not being forced to take the shots. They don't want these invaders to die. They want them to take up space after the American citizenry has been thinned out.
Yeah, that's kind of along what Charles Manson wanted, didn't it? He wanted to get a war going and all the whites be killed off and all the blacks would be in charge, but according to his theory, they were too stupid to run themselves, so he was going to be the guy in charge. And,
right.
You know, obviously,
Charlie would have taken care of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a,
no
that's
problem.
A crackpot idea, but, you know, that may be similar. Who knows?
I don't know. All right, well, what are you going to do this weekend for fun?
Work.
Hey, that's my line. Come on.
Yeah. Well, book number 41, which is The U-Boat War in Photos, volume 7, has gone to the proofreaders, and I mentioned it in the hot mail. You got a copy of it. And one nice thing, I mentioned that it's one of the boats it's covering is U-162. That was the boat of Jürgen Vattenberg, who was a member of Shark Hunters and a friend of mine. He's passed on long ago, but his son is a member, and he emailed back, and he asked to see what I'm written or what we wrote about his dad's boat, and I think there was like 24 pages. So I emailed them over to him, he emailed back and said, it's absolutely correct. It's excellent what we wrote about his dad's history. And the next one after that is going to be the refueling at sea and the border breakers, blockade breakers. You know, you hear about a couple of German ships that are breaking blockades. Hell, there were hundreds of them, cargo ships, that were being blockaded out of their own country by the Royal Navy. And
you never hear about it.
No.
No.
Hundreds
of
these ships.
Well, we were trying to strangle Germany into submission before the war even started. The whole thing was nuts.
Yeah, and, you know, as I've said before, it wasn't Germany who started the war. It was Poland.
100% correct. Nobody knows that, though. All right, my friend, thank you. That was a very interesting little walk back 30 years to take a look at a rather primitive-looking communist China compared to what the imagery they broadcast today. Most advanced technologies. Remarkable.
I don't know. I haven't been there for 30 years.
Well, they've got some...
Maybe the State Department will call me up and say, hey, let's talk.
Could be. All right. Go get some rest. Thank you.
Okay. I got to walk the dog first, and then I'm going to go look at the inside of my eyelids for about 5 hours, and I'm back to work.
All right, Admiral. You be well.
Have a great day,
soon.
Pal.
Thank you.
Righto.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com, is a great organization. This is truly preserving history. First class. We will be back with more.